Welcome to the Climate Gen podcast. This summary version is edited from the full interview. Included are the key points from the discussion, and the full version can be accessed by all YouTube and Patreon members. In this Climate Gen episode, former Obama White House advisor and climate adaptation expert, Dr. Alice Hill, delivers a chilling assessment of the risks homeowners are facing across the United States. As extreme climate-driven weather events destroy the value of property, the US has so far failed to adapt to the reality that Dr. Hill labels a profound risk to the stability of our real estate markets. Denying the risk is denying the reality. The risk of a retreating insurance industry extends beyond the borders of the United States. This interview shines a light on a potential intersection of where our day-to-day experiences of life, including our hopes and dreams, come crashing to the floor. This is all down to the psychological failure to respond adequately to what science tells us is coming towards us. Thanks for listening. Alice, it's fabulous to see you again. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me. Home in on insurance, because it's something that you've spoken about on a couple of occasions with me. And I want to start by asking, extreme weather events appear to have crossed a sort of tipping point in California and other parts of the US, where climate risk is now being evaluated as too high. You're the bell ringer for adaptation. How do you say to people you're uninsurable and there's a good chance you might be beyond adaptation? How do you frame that?
Well, it's not a conversation we're having widely here in the United States. Of course, we have a deep political divide as to whether these extreme weather events are even caused by humans' activity, which causes the pollution that's surrounding the planet and heating us up. So we have that political divide. So we can't really talk about climate the way insurers have been framing it. It is an increase in the intensity and frequency of extreme weather events. So we have seen, as you've noted, pull out insurers from very substantial insurance markets just because the risk is getting too large in certain geographic areas within the United States. Now, for the homeowners, that's not good news because it will affect the price of their property. It's just now becoming more evident that this is a big problem because we've had some very major insurance companies stop doing business in California, writing new policies for property insurance. And California is the fourth largest insurance market in the world, according to the California Department of Insurance. So to pull out of that from by State Farm and Allstate, which are national insurers here in the United States, is big news.
What choices are those people impacted by the insurance companies pulling out? What choices are they left with?
When these insurers pull out, the backup state plan, and they have a variety of names, but often they're called the FAIR plan, kick in. And that allows people to buy insurance even when they cannot obtain private insurance. Typically, it would be more expensive than what private insurance would be. That would be the ideal way to run the program so that people don't just flock to the backup plan, because the backup plan is supposed to be just a backup for the few people who are struggling to find insurance. But what we're seeing now is the backup plans are ballooning. And if the backup plans, if there's a big catastrophic event in one of these states, there could be an assessment either against all the insurers there, or in some states, they just say, we're going to take an assessment from all the residents in the state. So there's attempts to spread the risk, but they're pretty imperfect. And what happens is if these risks are concentrated in a geographic area, say earthquake or wildfire, less incentive for insurers to remain offering that kind of insurance.
How do you see it moving forward from here?
So what we saw in California is that in 2017 and 2018, we had extensive wildfires. And according to Milliman, an actuarial firm, that wiped out about a quarter century worth of profits for insurers in the state of California. That caught their attention. And for them, wildfire became a serious consideration. Now, as with each of these states, because they're regulated by different insurance commissioners, there's different requirements. California, surprisingly, still does not allow insurers in pricing their products, the premiums that they'll charge the homeowner, they don't allow them to use models that reflect the growing risk from climate change. So they're a bit constrained in what kind of premiums they can charge. What they can do more easily is just say, we're not going to write new business. But even there, California stepped in because the commissioners all want to make sure insurance is available and affordable. The commissioner stepped in and said, wait a minute, you can't pull out and stop offering insurance to existing homeowners simply because you had a bad couple of years. I'm going to force you and put a moratorium to stop you from withdrawing from those areas. And that, in fact, has occurred. But if you're an insurer looking at that, like, maybe I don't want to be here long term. So they will, as we've seen, eventually Allstate and State Farm, two big insurers, just saying, we're done. We're not going to do this anymore. The challenge with insurance generally is these companies write policies on a one-year basis. So they're just looking at the risk for that year. But climate change, as we know, worsens over time. In fact, the head of AXA, one of the largest insurance and reinsurance companies in the world, I think it was maybe 8 to 10 years ago, said at some point the world becomes uninsurable with climate change. And we're beginning to see the outlines of that. The problem is that we have a lot of buildings in areas that are at great risk. And in fact, in recent years, we've seen more people move to areas at risk than to areas that aren't at risk. During COVID, everyone wanted to move away, move to the country. Well, they moved to California and moved into what's called the wildland urban interface, areas that are destined to burn. They moved to the Southwest where it's extremely hot and we're going to run out of water. Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona just said, we can't have any new development. We don't have enough water here. We're not going to approve any new housing developments. And then on the East Coast, we've seen more people move to our coasts, which are subsiding, sinking for long geographical reasons, but they also have one of the highest rates of sea level rise in the world. That's a bad combination. We're seeing a lot of coastal flooding, but people are moving into those floodplains, a lot of development being allowed to occur there. And then they want subsidized flood insurance, but they may not be able to get property insurance for other types of perils.
Because what you're really talking about, it's like a massive eradication of value, really.
This is a profound risk to the stability of our real estate markets. And what I have observed in the last more than a decade, including when I was in the White House under the Obama administration, is that we have been watching the problem and there has been a reluctance to address the problem because it is so large and so fundamental to the stability of real estate as an asset. What do we need to do? We need to change our building and land use practices, and we need to prepare new communities for the receipt of those that will have to leave. We need to provide subsidies for those who cannot afford to leave, and we will see a large movement of people over time and devaluation of certain areas and increased evaluation of other areas that are safer.
Another thing you've talked about in Glasgow was the signals that reinsurers were sending. You mentioned reinsurers a moment ago. That was 18 months ago in Glasgow. What's the roadmap the reinsurers are talking about now?
Well, the reinsurance market has hardened in a way I don't think it's ever hardened before historically. It's become very expensive and hard to obtain reinsurance in some of these very high risk areas, including Louisiana and Florida. And that has an effect on the availability of insurance. So sometimes in some states, their insurance companies are required to have reinsurance. If they can't obtain it, then they can't sell the policies. Or if they're not obtaining it, if the big catastrophe should happen, those insurers probably will go under. They just won't have the capital to pay for all the damages.
If we're not adapting now, if we're not building these resilient fortresses that are hurricane-proof, flood-proof, fire-proof, and everything else, do we lose the ability to adapt? How agile are our processes at the moment from where you're sitting in America, which is the wealthiest country in the world. How agile is your approach at the moment?
It's not agile. We have not made notable progress in adapting to climate change here in the United States. We've had episodic or anecdotal progress, but nothing to the scale that is needed for the communities at greatest risk in the United States. It's a huge political challenge, and it's also a challenge psychologically for those affected. Homeowners don't want to be told that their property is at great risk. We had in Oregon huge wildfire risk. So the state did the right thing. They said, you know, we should have mapping that shows where the greatest risks for wildfires are going forward so people can make better choices about where they're going to purchase, where they live. Well, homeowners went nuts. So that's going to hurt our property values. It's going to cause insurance premiums to go up. We don't like your maps. We don't want your maps. And the state caved and pulled back the maps.
Wow.
So huge resistance. And it's understandable. In the United States, for homeowners, it's typically their largest asset. And you're telling them, this asset is declining in value as we speak and will continue to decline in value. And some of it will be washed away. They don't like to hear that. Very hard political choices and something that nobody wants to talk about. I mean, climate is still a very controversial word here in the United States. Climate change, you'll see we're politically divided. Many Republican leaders don't even want to even mention climate change.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's pretty surprising given that I'm a former judge. The science is clear. The science, you don't see any courts saying, oh no, climate change isn't occurring because the science is so accepted. But that's not the political world. That might be in a courtroom, but that's not the political world.
Well, look, thank you very much. It's been very insightful. It's amazing to see these things which were anticipated finally sort of coming to pass, unfortunately. So thank you very much for your insights.
Well, thank you. What a pleasure to have a chance to reconnect.